Hello family, no matter what you're going through in your life, whether it be in your house, your family, your marriage, your children, your business, it doesn't matter what it is, there are storms that come our way and seem to knock our houses down. Well, Jesus lays down a passage of scripture expressing a desire that we build on a rock. And I want you to just tune in this week to listen to the words of Jesus Christ and the blueprint for how do you build that house that will not fall. I'm Aaron Clark. God bless you as you listen. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And when we think about building, I would love for us to have this as the foundation for our mindset when we think about not only building in our own lives, but when we are reaching out to the community, that it comes down to this one thing as a foundation. And this is Matthew chapter 7. These are the words of Jesus, and this is at the very end of what is called and known as the Sermon on the Mount. So at the very end of all these words that started way back in chapter 5, if you have a Bible that has red letters, you'll notice that from chapter 5, verse 2, all the way to the end where we're going to read now, it's all red. These are all the words of Jesus Christ. So at the end of all these words that he says in verse 23, verse 24, he says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings, these words of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let me pray. God, as we take in more of your heart, your passion, your mind, we ask you to help us to receive what you are saying for our lives individually and corporately. Lord, instruct us today. And we need you in so many ways to understand, to perceive, and to put into action the things that we will hear by your Spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're building. So last week we talked about the foundation, building on a rock. And we talked about how the first thing he said was, this is the man who dug down deep. And we talked about digging deep to build on the rock. And we talked about when digging deep means that we got to get a whole lot of dirt out. We know that when we dig deep, that it's very likely that you're going to hit a rock. But you have to be careful that just because you hit a rock doesn't mean it's the rock. And many of us have suffered from building on rocks that wasn't the rock. We have started businesses. We have started relationships. We have started a whole lot of things that was just built on a rock and not the rock. And the pain from those things, the fallout, the families breaking up, the discouragement in our hearts, the loss of faith, the walking away from God, the walking away from the church, the walking away from life, people killing themselves because the foundation that they built on, eventually, as all life does, couldn't endure the storm. Jesus didn't say the storms might come. They're going to come for the righteous and the wicked. They're going to come for people who build on rock or people who build on sand. And it is because we live in a world that is fallen. Storms are coming. They're going to come. And one of the things that I think are foundational when we look at this is just what I talked about last week when he says, anyone who comes to me, hears my words, and does them, we looked at who are we coming to? We're coming to Jesus Christ. We're coming to God in the flesh. We're coming to the King of Kings. We're coming to the ruler of the ends of the earth. We're coming to the one who had wisdom that no man could answer him anymore. They just left him alone. Too wise. We can't catch this guy up. We're coming to the one who has grace in his eyes, who is full of grace and truth, who is merciful and gracious, who is able to redeem and make new. We come into the one who can say, let there be light, and there will be light. So we look at who we're coming to. So if we said, man, okay, I'm building on what it means to build on a rock, means to listen to the words of this great king. To embrace the mindset, the heart, the passion, the vision, the direction of this great king that no angel in heaven had a name higher than, that no devil in hell can conquer, that no fear can make him sway in his path, that nothing, even the grave, caused him to stop in accomplishing what he came to do. Now that's the king I want to serve. Amen. So when we think about it, this is what we're building on. And today, I want us to think about this, and I want you to look at it this way. We in this building right now, for a couple of reasons, we meet in this room. One reason is that from the building we came from, it would have been a big shock to just walk into this 60-foot ceiling, 300-seat sanctuary. Like, you know what? Maybe it's better if we do start out in the community room. But there's another reason as well which pushed us to even think that way, which is the boiler is down. And the boiler is what heats the sanctuary. So we said, you know what we're going to do? And then we came up with, well, it's probably better this way anyway. So some gracious brothers decided, you know, they said, Aaron, we're going to get in there, man, and we're going to help you out. We love what y'all are doing, man. These are brothers who've been around y'all. Y'all impacted them. Y'all impacted them so much, they said, and we'll do it for free. We'll pay all the way up to this. And when we get to this point, we just have to see. But we'll take care of everything up to this point right here. And they'll be here this week, by the way. And then they were looking around. They were looking at the boiler. They were all in the sanctuary. They're going all around. And then all of a sudden, they were here. And I said, you know, I got the blueprint. And they said, you got the blueprint? And for them, that was the end of all the searching. That was it. They said, they were like kids opening up a candy box. They took the blueprint, laid it out, and they were like, oh, yeah, we got this. We got this. We don't need no other inspection. We know exactly what to do now because we got the blueprint. And so if you don't know what a blueprint is this set of a layout of a building. The details are so fine for every room, every closet, the height of every wall, every beam, everything is laid out. I mean, and it's in great detail. So, you know, if you ever have a problem, you can always refer to the blueprint. But the blueprint is also what you need when it's time to build. When the builders go out, they have a grading company come out, and they come out with these special devices. I just watch these guys. I'm like, these guys are amazing. I don't know how they do that. But what the grading company does is they come out, they can survey the land. You ever see those guys? One guy's down there with a tube, and he's looking through something, and they're surveying the land. So they'll survey the land to tell you what the grade is, because they know that no matter what you think, you need to know the grade of the land because rain is coming. And you got to figure out what to do with the water when it comes, or it's going to mess up your foundation and your house is going to fall. So this is what the grading company does. So they get that all together, and then the next thing to do is to get the blueprints to the building company, and the building company takes the blueprints and he gives it over to the foreman of the job. And every time you see the foreman, he'll have this thing rolled up under his arm, and he's running around, and they'll stop and open up the blueprints. And then as they're building, I said, man, something look off right here. And then what do? They open up the blueprints. Man, you know what the problem is? This wall is 9 feet tall, and that wall is 12 feet tall. This, see, look at the blueprints. It's supposed to be like this. And everything from the plumbing to the electrical work to the carpentry to the concrete work, everything can be understood by referring to the blueprint. And today I want to tell you that the blueprint for Christian life, for the best life that you could actually live, is the words of Jesus Christ. And we must constantly refer to them. I want you to look at Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 26. Listen, because this is just a few of his words. Because one of the things he says, one of the things that we have to do with the blueprint is you got to count up the cost. Amen. A blueprint, if you know how long a wall is and how many walls you have, you know how much drywall you need. You know how many 2x4s you need. You know if you're using steel, you can take the blueprint and you can actually count up the cost. Can we count up the cost by looking at this? If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, and cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it or not? Less happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build but wasn't able to finish. Do you know that Jesus is concerned about you starting off a Christian life and finishing well? He's concerned that you don't become that one that they say, what happened to that guy? What happened to them? He was all on fire and something happened. Jesus says the beginning of that is first counting up the cost. I've actually seen it. We had it right here in this county. Right here in this county, you drive up 57, you look off to the right over there right before you get to Mantino, and you see this. Remember, for a long time, it was an unfinished subdivision. And that was because they started building and ran out of money. And they couldn't even cover the houses up, so the wood started to just dry rot. They didn't count up the cost. I think that one of the most gracious expressions of God's love for us is that he's saying, man, look, we're going to lay the foundation, but I want to make sure that you don't start running and end up falling before you get to the finish line. I want to make sure that if you get married, you can stay married, and you know how to do that. I want to make sure when you have children, you know how to raise your children. I want to make sure that you had the confidence, no matter who you are, what you're doing, that when you set off out on goals with me, when I give you a vision, that you believe you can carry the vision out. Because storms are going to come. And I want you to be able to stand. I want your house to stand. Sometimes Christianity can look so boxed in, depending on where you're getting your words from. But a careful analyzation of what Jesus is saying is he's saying, I want you to build on something that will stand and you will last. Man, that ain't all hell. I mean, hell real, right? But Jesus said, I've already conquered hell. Now you and me, let's get going. Let's get on down the road. And the blueprints are his words that show us. First, let's count up the cost. Blueprints show us what needs to be connected to what. What does that mean, Brother Aaron? Blueprints can show you what relationships you should be in and what relationships you shouldn't be in. I mean, if you want to be a winner, who should you hang with if you want to be a winner? If you want to be, if you want to be a businessman, who should you hang with? If you want to be a loser, who should you hang with? There you go. You want to be an unfaithful tyrant in your house? Just hang with unfaithful tyrants. And you will wreck your house and tear it down in no time. No problem. Jesus' words actually show us how to develop relationships with people so that we're not connected to the wrong thing. I mean, if you drove past a house and you looked up and the house leaning to the side, something disconnected or something connected to the wrong, something wrong here. Anybody can look at it and say something is not connected right. And we see that in our country. People are connecting to the wrong thing. Connecting to the wrong people. Connecting to the wrong vision. Connecting to the wrong hope. Connected to the wrong perception of what is real and what is good. People are connected to the wrong thing. But if we look at the words of Jesus, he says, whosoever shall do the will of God, that's the best connection. Those are the people you should connect to, the people who do the will of God. He say, first we just read, okay, I'm counting up the cost. Because the cost could be my daddy. I think I'm holier than thou now. Or my mama say I'm practicing separatism. Or my cousin, they just think I don't love them anymore. He said, no. The first thing you need to be thinking about is you got to count up the cost, because I'll give you fathers and I'll give you mothers. I'll give you brothers and cousins and I'll give you a whole different family. And it could cost you the family that you were born into. But remember, you were born into a family, but when you be born again, you're born again into a different family. And now you need to know who you need to be connected to if you're going to walk with me and you're going to see the calling that I got on your life fulfilled. And that's connecting to people who are doing the will of God. That's what he said. He said, if you're not, he said, because they all came up to Jesus. Jesus was out doing what he does for God and God only. And they all came up to him. They said, Lord, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are out here. They're looking for you. He stretched out his arm toward the disciples and said, these are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters. He said, whoever doing the will of God, that's my family. That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I don't want to stand up here and pretend like that's an easy move to make. But the Bible says, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. Your family, the people you've been around the longest, could be the very ones that come against you. You decide you ain't gonna be getting drunk and bumbling and smoking and cussing and all that gambling and stuff no more. When you decide that you're getting ready to raise your children and you're gonna be at home with your family. When you start deciding that you're gonna raise up a legacy unto the Lord and you wanna do it the right way, your family could be the very one saying, what you think you doing? Your friends. Oh, you don't love us no more? Oh, it's like that, right? Come on, man. I remember when you was, okay. I remember when I was too. But I'm not anymore. I don't want to go down the right road. I've heard the call from heaven, and I want to answer it. I want to see what the Lord got for my life, man. I don't want to be like that guy. 84 years old. Still have no idea what he's supposed to be doing. And the blueprints help you connect to the right people. The blueprint gives a clear picture of what to expect. I mean, it just tells you what you're going to go through. Jesus tells us what we're going to go through. He said, man, some people, they're going to come and they're going to ask you, presume they're going to be trying to take advantage of you. They're going to try to use you. He said, but you just bless them that despitefully use you and persecute you. It's coming. It's coming. People going to cut you off. He said, don't think that I came to bring peace. The wind is not going to start blowing and flowers just grow up instantly under your feet. He says, no. He says, actually, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. He said, it's going to be two in one house against three and three in a house against two. It's going to separate the mother from the daughter and the father from the son. But whoever is doing the will of God from the heart, that'll be your family. Those would be your real ride or die. Yeah. You know, there's so many blueprints out here too. And that's a big problem. They got blueprints for prosperity. They got blueprints for good health. They got blueprints for relationships. They got blueprints for marriage. They got blueprints for family. They got blueprints for church. They got blueprints for everything. And we see a whole lot of it just collapsing. Just collapsing. And that is not what Jesus wants for us. I can't say that enough. I want you to know, as a church, as a pastor, as your pastor, one of the most frequented prayers I pray for you is that God would reveal his love to you. That it would just cause you to soar in your confidence in this world. That you'll feel like a little kid. Like, it ain't nothing I can't do. All these other blueprints, they're coming from the minds of men. When you hear, well, I don't think, good. Let's go to the word. See, I just say, I don't believe God. Yeah, I use this analogy all the time. It's like, now, if you're sitting over there and you listening to me talk to somebody else, and your name is Tina, and I said, well, I don't think Tina really feel that way. What I really think is that Tina is this and Tina is that, and what she really believes and what she really thinks and how she really feels and what her real passion and what her real, and Tina be like, wait a minute, do y'all want to talk to me? Do y'all want to know what I really think and what I really believe? You know, you can talk to me about that. You know, that's what people would do with God. That's what people would do with Jesus. And they ask all these questions. If God loved me, why did I have to suffer a loss? Why did this storm come? Let's look at why the storm comes. The Lord is saying, I don't want you to just be in this with a false perception. I don't want you to be in this building on a rock with a blueprint that didn't come from me. You need to build with a blueprint that comes from me. He says, if you're going to listen to all of these other people with all of these other blueprints, you're going to suffer greatly. And then you end up doing what some people do. You didn't build it right. Or you ran out of what you needed, or you look up and you just like, man, this is the worst house I could have ever built. I don't want to live here. So you have to ask yourself, whose words are you relying on? Your deepest convictions, the things that get you fired up, are they because of Jesus Christ's words? Is it because I stand resolutely on these letters in red? Or is it because, well, Dr. Phil, I was listening to Oprah the other day, and Oprah don't believe what Jesus says. Oprah doesn't believe that there's only one way to God. So I just kind of believe, then let Oprah build your house. You better hope it's staying, though. Because what Jesus says is you better hope that you're building on the rock. Because if you build on the rock, when the storms come, your house will stand. If our houses are falling, and I mean, we could talk about the house a little bit, you know. If our love is falling, if our joy is falling, if our peace is falling, if our temperance is falling, if our long-suffering is falling, if our gentleness is falling, is that because our house is not built on a rock? So as a Christian, we have a responsibility not only to embrace these words, but to stand for them. We don't compromise saying there's another word too. So we're going to use pine right here and oak over here. And right here we'll use bamboo. And over here you can use particle board. And over there you just use straight to. No, man, it can't be all this different stuff. He said we have to have a single eye. He said if you have a single eye, that means one word, one focus coming from one place. He said then the whole house will be full of light. He said, but when you got all this shifting shadows and all of this stuff going on inside you, he said, great is the darkness. It's dark. And it's just going to ever consume you with darkness. We can't be ashamed. He said, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. So he called it out. So it's almost like Jesus saying, you're going to be ashamed of my words in this generation? Really? With all this corruption and mayhem and chaos and lying and unfaithfulness, and you're going to be ashamed of the truth? You're going to be ashamed of your marriage? You're going to be ashamed of loving your children? You're going to be ashamed of working hard? You're going to be ashamed of it? Of doing the right thing? You're going to be ashamed of purity in this impure generation? Jesus says, man, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So the practical thing is to study. Study to show, what did he say? Everybody know this one, right? Study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly divided in the word of truth. A workman that needed not to be ashamed? Okay. Who knows what it says right after that? Huh? What he says right after that is the kicker. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So what's the profane and the vain babbling that's going on out here? Many paths, one God. Just do you. If it feel good, it's probably good. I mean, we can go on and on. One day, I'll get to God. My grandmama was a Christian, therefore I'm saved. God ain't trying to pay attention to what we do. I don't need to be around believers. I got my own understanding. I do have a higher power. It's just not the same as yours. And these kids get on my nerve. Have y'all heard the trash talking of families, man? Of marriage? Of purity? Of things that are good, of things that enrich you, of things that build you up, they just down it. The Bible would call that profane and vain babbling. He says, just shun it. Walk away from them. Literally, turn and walk away. I'm out of here. If I can't shift this conversation, if I can't lift this conversation, I'm out of this conversation. Y'all talking about being broke. Y'all on dirt. See ya. Now, people will tell you, you trying to be holier than thou. No, but I am. I do want better for myself. And this is the crazy thing. We don't even test the logic in that. It's wrong for me to want better for myself in the Lord. But you can want to make it rain. You can want to conquer the world. And I don't call you thinking you better than yourself. The blueprint is the words of the Lord, man. We said last week, come here, do. The last thing that we need to understand is blueprints also help you continue when you have problems. See, we had a problem with the boiler. What did they do? They went back to the blueprint. We're going to figure this out through the blueprint. If you have to come and let's just say something happens. A wall gets broke, or I don't know, the roof caves, I don't know, something happened. You go to the blueprint, and it happens in our households. Suddenly my joy is gone, and I can't figure it out. I have to go to the blueprint. What did I? Oh, I took thought for my life. I'm too worried about tomorrow. Wow. Man, I'm sitting here wondering if God gonna take care of me, and he said, man, why are you worried about, look at the birds. He said he feed all the birds, and look at the field. All of Solomon's glory don't compare to the grass that just grows up today and tomorrow is gone, and you worried about whether I'm going to take care of you? And then I'm like, wow, glad I went back to the blueprint to fix this joy problem. Glad I went back to the blueprint to fix this fear problem. Man, all of a sudden, you're running down the road, I'm getting ready. I'm going to the top. And then you get halfway up and you say, God, did you call me to this? All of a sudden, you can't do it. You're afraid. You want to back out. And he says that he that the race is not given to the swift, neither the battle to the strong, but he that doeth endure to the end. So maybe you need to slow down and just take shorter steps. Maybe you need to stop and take a breath. But whatever you do, don't turn back. You keep going. The blueprint will help you stay the course. Listen to what Jesus says. I mean, in so many ways, he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Paul writes, continue in the faith. He says that we were aliens and enemies in our minds by wicked works. He says, but now we are holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And the only way to continue is to come back to the blueprints. What is on Jesus' mind? Where does he sit with all this? Jesus, am I off track? And a lot of times I found myself so far off track until I get back to the blueprint. One warning I want to give you, because last week we talked about digging, and this week we're still talking about building. But I want to let you know that just because you got the blueprint and just because you're building don't mean that the storm's going to wait until the house is erected. Sometimes you're right in the middle of digging, right in the middle of building, and so many Christians have been lost at this place. I'm doing it, and then a storm hit you. And he didn't just say a light sprinkle. He said, this is going to be one that rock your world. It could be the loss of a family member. It could be the loss of a job. It could be the loss of all your possessions. It could be something. This is not just, man, they shorted me $5 on my check. No. He said, it's going to be hard. And it could very likely come right in the middle of you giving everything you got to him. It's fair warning. Stick to the plan. If you haven't hit rock yet, keep digging. If the rain come and refill your hole, dig it back out. You feel like you're wading in mud? Remember what David said? He plucked my feet out of the miry clay and set me on a rock. David knew about digging and then feeling stuck. So we're going to leave with this. A question. Who does... And I'm this question is not just for you. This question is for me. I heard it a long time. I often have to go back to it. Who has the final word in my life? Because whoever has the final word, that's the blueprint that I'm following. That's what I'm working on. Now, I can go to church 3 times a week, but if the final word in how I make decisions in my relationships, the final word and how I make decisions with my money, the final word in how I handle my children, the final word in how I handle my wife or how you handle your husband, if the final word
about my singleness or whatever it is, if the final word does not come from Jesus, then you got to check which blueprint you're reading. Every page actually tells you what room you're working on. It'll tell you the boiler room. It'll tell you the sanctuary, the west room. In the Bible, you can just look up joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, brotherly kindness. You can look up every room you need to work on. We have to make sure that we're reading from the right blueprint. Because ultimately, let's put a cap on this. Jesus wants you to live in a dream house. It's not all hard work for nothing, man. He wants you to live in a dream house. He wants you to be ecstatic. Like, man, I almost feel like I got to take a sleeping pill because I can't sleep. I can't wait till tomorrow. Life is out there. Why does the sun set? That's how you'll be living. That's what he really wants for you. He wants your house full of joy. He wants your heart full of peace. He wants the best for you. And you know the proof of it? He died for you to receive it. He died for you to have access to the power that rules everything. So you can get wisdom when you need it, strength when you need it, grace when you need it, help when you need it, guidance when you need it. He died for you to have an open door. And I keep referring to this because it's really just the simplest thing, you know. Love, joy, faith, temperance. You know, love. Not the love that's fleeting. It felt good yesterday, but I don't want it today. No, he said, charity, divine love, never fails. Joy, some people think of joy as, read carefully, joy is a place in God. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Peace. Is peace, does peace mean there are no wars? No, peace is knowing you got the victory in the middle of the war. That's what peace is. Your house built doesn't mean that there are not going to be storms. Your dream house will endure storms. But let's get it straight. That's what God's ultimate plan for you is, to have your dream house. And that is stand. The test of time. The storms. The trials, the rage against your soul, everything that's going on in this world, your house to stand. Boy, I tell you what, I was not just encouraged by just the feedback that I got instantly through the message, but the discussion afterwards was amazing. To just think about, man, the Lord wants us to live in a dream house. He wants us to be zealous. He wants us to be full. He wants us to be on fire all the time. And he gives us the blueprint so that when we build, our house doesn't fall. And hey, if we run into problems, we can go back to the blueprint. How much grace is that? That's enough grace to save us, keep us, and present us to God without fault, blemish, or any such thing. Hey, until next week, I'm Aaron Clark. You can check this message and other messages out on our website at spiritandtruthchristianchurch.net. You can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and follow us there. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to request a ride, prayer, or anything else that you need. God bless you. Till next week, take care.